Fugitive. A QM production. Starring David Janssen as Dr. Richard Kimball, an innocent victim of blind justice, falsely convicted for the murder of his wife.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Another edition, Talking Fugitive, with Kitty and Bobby and Ken. I am the George Fenneman of Talking Fugitive, Dave White. And if you would like to be on the program this week, I'm afraid that you cannot. This is another pre-recorded program due to some vacation schedule. Somebody is getting a hell of a lot of vacations, and it isn't me. But anyway, Talking Fugitive will return in 2 weeks live and welcome your comments. You can also email comments about the program to fugitive@ksav.org. All right, tonight we're going to be discussing the episode Corner of Hell. Every time I think about a corner of hell, I think about Bobby Neer, so we'll start elsewhere tonight. Let's have Kitty get us off and running.
Okay. Well, this is kind of an interesting episode. We've seen Kimball save Gerard many times in this series now. But this time he actually saves him in kind of a different way. We've often said that we thought that Kimball didn't get much of a fair trial, even though everybody claims he got a fair trial in Girl from Little Egypt. From our perspective, we think he kind of got more of a kangaroo court. And here the tables get turned in this episode where Gerard actually gets accused of a crime. We start out this episode where Gerard arrives and he's had a word of a Kimball sighting, and he and the local sheriff there, they do find Kimball and they chase him, and Kimball ends up running into an area where the one sheriff tells Gerard that he's not going to go there because that's a place where the traditional term is the hillbillies. And he said that they just do not, they don't want any part of those people because those people are just plain strange. They do things their own way, and you could go in there and never come out. So that sheriff tells Gerard, you know, just to forget about it. But as we all know, Gerard simply is incapable of forgetting about it. So Gerard goes down there. And he wants to speak to a local to whoever the constable is there. And the next thing he knows, his gun is being taken. He's chasing somebody for it. And he comes across a young woman who's been hurt, and he's leaning over her, and automatically everybody assumes that he's the one that harmed her. And so he gets treated very badly, to put it mildly. He gets a kangaroo court, and Kimball is there, and Kimball is the only one who believes that Gerard didn't do this to this person. She's not saying who really did harm her, and so Gerard is basically at the mercy of all of these psychotic people. It's definitely a change of pace for the show, and you see, like I said, Gerard on the receiving end of so-called blind justice. I think in this case it really is blind justice. What happens is that they're ready to hang him over this. I mean, even though this poor girl wasn't actually killed or anything, they're still ready to hang her. And Kimball goes to her and tells her that she has got to tell what really happened. And in the final analysis, she does, but only because the person who actually did harm her took some money from her. And that was what made her confess all, was that she yelled at him that he took her money when he hit her. So Gerard was off the hook. But it was definitely a change of pace. Nothing changes between Gerard and Kimball. You know, Gerard says he's still going to keep chasing him. But it definitely explores some different emotions there, and I think it's certainly one of the better episodes. Ken, what do you think of this episode?
I was kind of mixed feelings on this one. I wrote in the book, I gave it a rating of 5. Now, both of you guys gave it a very high rating, 9.5. I read your reviews this morning. The reason why I'm kind of split, there are some good scenes, some lousy scenes, and then some really ridiculous scenes. Now, obviously, the good scene is, you know, anytime you get Gerard and Kimball, you know, together, and then they have a face-to-face meeting, it's classic for the series, because they, you know, I don't know how many times they did it in the series, maybe close to 10 times, where they actually are pretty close together and maybe talk to each other. You know, Nightmare at North Oak in the jail scene. There's some other scenes, you know, where, like, Kimball is in the hospital bed and they talk, and then some other times. So in this episode, you know, you get that one scene where Gerard's in the chair and then Kimball comes in, and, you know, we, the audience, you know, we're on the edge of our seat. But the script itself, you know, Kimball's and Gerard are in the backwoods, and actually I called it a zombie village because most of the people are walking around like zombies. You have Bruce Dern, who's a thug again. He shows up again. I think he's 3 or 4 times in this series, and this performance was one of his best because he's a downright lousy, just mean guy. And then you have Elvie, and I called her a brat, because I did not like her character at all.
Well, I don't think you were supposed to like her character.
Well, Ken, isn't it true that really you just don't like this episode because there aren't any good-looking women for you to pin up on your wall?
Absolutely. You got
okay.
it, Dave.
All
you
right.
got it. There were no women to put on my wall of fame. Elvie, she is not attractive. She's wild. She dresses crazy. She talks funny. Conversation between her and Kimball, and Kimball again, you know, he's asking her questions, but Kimball is not a prosecuting attorney. He's lousy. He doesn't know how to pump information out of people. And then the one thing I did not like in the end,
he's a doctor, not a lawyer.
Yeah. And the one thing I did not like in the end, and Bob, you can comment on this, is that they find Gerard guilty, and then they're going to string him up with the rope. And Gerard comes out of the blue and says, "Oh, just hang me and get it over with and end my life." And I said, "What? You know, Gerard, you are very sophisticated. You're smart. He tried to escape, but he got caught. He's going to give up everything right there in the woods and just say, hey, hang me. That's it." But the best scene, and I'll have to rate this in my top 10 scenes throughout the entire series, is at the end. And Kimball and Gerard are parting company, and Gerard goes, "Well, you're going to keep running, or same old story, or whatever." And Kimball goes, "There's a man I have to find." That was a really good line. And Gerard says something like, "Yeah, same old," and then Gerard kind of walks off. Okay, Bob, I know you're just dying to comment, so go ahead.
You guys are all over the place. You're already at the end of this episode. I'm not even at the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning.
Well, I just gave a summary, so
let's go back to the beginning so it's a little more coherent. Kenny neglected to mention that Kimball is also taken hostage in this episode. He just happened to be there. I mean, Gerard is taken hostage. Kimball is taken hostage. So they're both really being held hostage there because all these hillbillies care about is that anybody is in their territory. I mean, that's the big issue with them. Even before Elvie, is that her name, Elvie? Even before she gets assaulted, they would be in trouble anyway just for going into the woods. And Gerard just told them at the beginning of the episode, they say, you don't want to go in there because if anybody goes in there, they actually will set fire to the woods. So it's a typical Gerard story. He doesn't listen to that. He goes off into the woods anyway. So they're both actually taken hostage. Now, let me just say this about this episode, whether you like it or you hate it or whatever. This is the episode that The Fugitive was obligated to do. this episode was going to come somewhere. It had to, somewhere in the series. And the reason is simple. All these confrontations, you only have two kinds of confrontations with Gerard and Kimball. One is where either Kimball is in jail and he's stuck there, like he was in Nightmare at North Oak, or you have the confrontations where Kimball is saving Gerard's life. He's injured, like in Never Wave Goodbye, or other stories. If you do the whole series with just those, aside from the fact that it has less and less impact the more times you do it, then by the end of the series or by the fourth season or whatever, we would be sitting here saying, you didn't do the most obvious story of all, and that is, what happens if there's a confrontation because not Kimball's in trouble, but Gerard is in trouble? And we would be wondering if the whole issue here is that Gerard won't listen to reason and won't listen to anything when Kimball tells him he didn't do it and other people tell him he didn't do it, then I would say, well, there's a reason for that. He doesn't know what it's like to be falsely accused. He's a cop. All he cares about is catching the bad guy. And he has no concept of what it's like to be in prison. He has no concept of what it's like to have your life threatened. So they had to do this story. So I think that's behind it. So how do you do a story like that? Well, I thought it was rather creative to come up with this. I agree that the story is a little bit silly. It's almost hard to take seriously. They're all caricatures. You know, they don't even look like real people. I think Ken makes a good point when he says half of them are walking around. They're just everybody in the background is just an extra. They're not really doing anything. So I would agree to that. But I think it's an important episode for that particular reason. We want to know, or I would want to know at some point in the series, what it would be like if Gerard could see how the other side lives. You know, let him be put in that position. Now, how likely is it that a cop or a detective would be in that position? It's not very likely. So they kind of make up this contrived thing where he gets accused of doing something. And, of course, you know, I mean, we know he would never, as bad as he is, he's not going to assault this woman or anything like that. So it's all very obvious. But I think it's necessary for that reason. Personally, I don't care how they do it. I like when Gerard and Kimball have confrontations. You know, Linda, who has called this show in the past, posted on the message board about a week ago that's the part of the series that she least likes. That's the complete opposite of me. That's the part I most like. I want them to have those confrontations. I think those are the best moments. And don't you agree with that, Ken, that's what we really wait for?
Yes, I'm on the edge of my seat. I've commented many times.
Yeah.
But this story was just out in left field.
Well, it is a goofy story. I agree. It is kind of a nutty story, but I don't really take it all that seriously. And then there's the visual impact of certain things in the story, especially seeing. I mean, they take Gerard and they tie him up to a chair, and then they sit the chair on top of a table or something, and so he's completely vulnerable. You never really see that other than Never Wave Goodbye, where he's on the beach and he's dying. You never really see him in that kind of position.
Well, there was that episode where he needed the blood transfusion.
Oh, yeah, there's Ilwin. You know, that's true. But he was so arrogant during that, even so. I mean, it's hard to picture it that way. But so I think that that's a kind of a different visual image in the series. So I really like that part of it. But I don't. I really didn't take the story all that seriously. I just concentrate instead on those individual scenes. Now, Ken says that Kimball's a lousy lawyer, but you see, I really like that scene because I thought Kimball really didn't do anything, and that's what I wanted him to do. You know, he just kind of backs off into a little bit further across the room. Gerard is sitting there in a chair, and he's tied up, and he's hollering, "I didn't do it," and he tells Kimball, "Tell these people I would never do a thing like that." So it's the exact opposite, of course. They're just changing places from what we normally see. Kimball doesn't really do anything. He just kind of stands. I said in my review, I said Kimball just is giving him dirty looks out of the corner of his eye, as if to say, "And so, now you know."
All right, and I'm sure you're probably going to be giving me dirty looks out of the corner of your eye because we're going to take a quick time out. We'll come back to explore a little bit more of the corner of hell here on Talkin' Fugitive and Sherevision Radio.
Coca-Cola, things go better with Coca-Cola, things go better with Coke. Life is much more fun when you're refreshed.
and Coke refreshes you best.
It's the refreshingest.
Food goes better with, fun goes better with, you go better with Coke.
The real life one puts extra fun in you and everything you do. So things go better with Coca-Cola.
Things go better with Coke.
Right now, why not let an ice-cold Coke make things go better for you? Mmm, cold, crisp, never too sweet. Fun. Food. And people. All need the spirited taste of ice-cold Coke to be really refreshed.
Things go better with Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coke.
And I'm running from you. And I'm running from me. Running from our life together and all of the memories.
Running and running. We're talking about The Fugitive. This was a program that made running from the police sound like fun. Okay, it was certainly interesting. All right, Corner of Hell tonight's episode, pre-recorded. But your comments are still welcome. Email fugitive@ksav.org. All right, for the second half of this, let's start off with Bobby Neer.
Thank you, Dave. In his glory days, Richard Kimball was a physician, a pediatrician to be exact, a doctor specializing in children. Now, like all doctors, he no doubt had his failures and his successes, meaning that some patients recovered and unfortunately some did not. A particularly disturbing fact when you consider someone so young being so sick. It's part of the profession, but in Kimball's case, it comes back to haunt him when he has a reunion of sorts with the parents of a former patient, that's Victor and Ann Leonetti, also close Kimball family friends, and their daughter Jeannie, who did not recover from a heart ailment. Victor has held a grudge against Kimball for failing to save his daughter, and when he recognizes him working in a hospital where he himself is a patient, sees a chance to finally even the score. Telly Savalas and Carol Rawson return in two memorable performances in an all-time Fugitive classic that received across the board 10 ratings from all three of us. May God Have Mercy, Part 1, Acts 1 and 2, 2 weeks from tonight on Talking Fugitive. I'd also like to remind people that the first 15 episodes of The Fugitive are now available as a DVD set. And I might add a little something that perhaps some people don't know, that this set can also be rented if you're a member of either Netflix or Blockbuster Video, their home DVD service where they send you DVDs to watch. So if you've never seen the series and you're about 18 years old and weren't around then like Kitty and wonder what all the fuss is about and why three people would spend their lives discussing a series that hasn't been around for 40 years and you don't want to spend $35 or so to buy it, you can rent it first online at either one of those places and find out for yourself. And to the best of my knowledge, there's no time limit on that. So I guess you could just rent those and keep them as long as you want until they put out the next 15 and get to see the whole series that way. So I just went there to check to see whether they have them, and they actually both do. So you can either buy it or rent it. And, of course, if you do that, you'll want to get volumes 1 and 2 of The Fugitive, the Views and Reviews, our books on the first two seasons. Can't rent those. You have to buy those, actually. And there's a rumor around that sometime later this year there's going to be a third book on season number 3. Okay. In the meantime, we've got to get Kimball and Gerard out of the woods and these crazy hillbillies. And I want to take issue with something that Ken said, because I also read his review today before we did the show. And you just mentioned it, as a matter of fact, that is this business about Gerard throwing up his hands and saying, all right, just go ahead and hang me. How ridiculous that is. But I think you're taking that way too seriously, Ken. And certainly you must have had in your life, as everybody has, those moments of incredible frustration where you're trying to do something, where you're trying to convince somebody of something, and you do it over and over and over again, so you feel like you can't stand it anymore, and you just throw up your hands and say, all right, forget it. All right, just do whatever you want to do. Now, he's not actually asking them to hang him. You went off on a rant about that, saying, come on, Gerard, you're not going to let these people hang you. This is ridiculous. But I think it was just extreme frustration. Don't you agree on that?
I think he's a smarter person than that. You know, we get the impression from Gerard, you know, especially from Never Wave Goodbye, that he'll look at the smallest clues, you know, a matchstick, and he's, you know, very consistent, he's determined, he's a sharp guy. And so there he is, sitting in the chair, and he's given up? I don't know. It just really struck me as odd. What was your first impression when you saw it? You thought he was just, he just kind of said it, but didn't mean what he said?
Yeah, he's just overwhelmingly frustrated. He's making, from his point of view, he's making a logical case that they have no evidence that he ever touched this woman. He just happened to find her laying there on the ground. So it looks to anybody who understands the legal system that's not proof of anything. You can't convict anybody. That's absurd. Although I might suggest that's pretty much what happened to Richard Kimble, because he walked in the door one night and saw his wife dead on the floor. Therefore, there's nobody else around, so it must be him. So it's actually the same thing.
What did you think of my idea of changing the script a little bit?
In what way?
And I mentioned in the book that instead of just, you know, a reversal of fortune where Gerard's in Kimball's shoes now, I think I would rather have seen a story about Gerard having amnesia and Kimball, you know, and him have some conversations, and then we get a little deeper sense of who Gerard is. And Gerard doesn't know that Kimball's on the run, and how would Kimball react to Gerard having amnesia?
Well, you just want to take Escape in the Black and turn it around.
Yeah, I would have liked that story better than this one. I'm sorry to say it.
Now, let me follow this. So Gerard has amnesia.
Yeah.
Why would Kimball stand there and talk to him? Wouldn't he just start running?
No, Kimball has to help him. You know, Gerard's injured, and just the two of them are stuck somewhere in the woods.
Oh, in other words, so we're back on Never Wave Goodbye. Gerard's on the beach laying there like he was in that episode, and he looks up, and instead of saying, "Give up, Kimball, let me take you in," he looks up and he goes, "Who are you?"
Right, that would have been that.
Kitty, what do you think of that?
That could have been interesting. You know, and maybe Kimball keeps trying to leave him somewhere, and maybe he keeps saying, "Oh no, don't leave me."
That is, talk about far-fetched. Well, I'll tell you what. I have a different idea than that. For this particular story, what I mentioned at the beginning when I started talking about how you have to do an episode where Gerard is in trouble and Kimball has to save him. You really have to do that somewhere in the series, I do believe. Throw out, since you don't like the hillbillies at all, you don't like the whole thing, you think the whole thing is ridiculous, throw out the whole story. Get rid of the hillbillies, do another story. See, I always, long before I created the group or we did this radio show or everything, I used to think in my own mind, I never wrote anything, but I used to think in my own mind, wouldn't it have been an interesting story if Gerard, since he's a cop, was chasing Kimball one day or something, and there was an accidental shooting or something. Gerard either killed or injured somebody in his pursuit of Kimball, but there were some extenuating circumstances, and only Kimball could save him. He was the only witness. What do you think of that?
Well, good. We just reviewed.
Yeah,
one.
I know. Yeah, I know. the one we just did, and I said you'll see my review later tomorrow, and you'll see how you mentioned that. But I want to know what Ken thinks. Do you like a story like that?
Yes, I like it when it's a well-written story and you have some surprises and you don't know how it's going to turn out. Now, that's what I'm looking for when I'm watching TV. If I can guess the script and after 5 minutes, you know, even a third grader knows what's going on, that's what really frustrates me with some of the episodes.
Yeah, but aren't most of them that way, really?
No, well,
isn't that the nature of any continuing story? You know that the hero is not going to die. He's going to make it.
Yeah, but, you know, you got the twists and angles and, you know, confrontations, and then you got the characters. The characters are the main thing of the Fugitive series, is when you have a guest star, and how do they play their character. You know, the next episode we're doing, May God Have Mercy, that's an example.
Oh, yeah.
You know, those two characters, they made the story.
Of course.
And then, of course, Gerard right there in the middle,
right,
in the hospital room. I can't wait to review that one.
Right.
That's a good one.
I've always thought that Bruce Dern was an excellent actor, and he's very well cast as a villain. But you didn't think this performance was good?
No, he doesn't do a whole lot in this one. Actually, we have an episode coming up in season 4. I can't remember the name of it, where he's the leader of a motorcycle gang. And that's his chin. In that one, I believe he has the lead. He's been in The Fugitive up until now several times, but always as minor characters. And even in this one, even though he's the bad guy, he's the one who actually assaulted the woman, he doesn't really have that big a part. Oh, I agree with that. I mean, he's one of the great villains of all time. Have you ever seen the movie Black Sunday?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, he's fabulous in that.
There's another one. Alfred Hitchcock did one. He was in an Alfred Hitchcock
killer. Yes, that's true. Yeah.
And Bruce Dern was in Coming Home as well.
That's right.
He wasn't
the
villain, but he was certainly the less popular of the...
Right, but in Black Sunday, he plays a terrorist long before the word terrorist was even in the vocabulary. Absolutely so frightening. Actually, as evil and as frightening as the real terrorists are today. So, yeah, he does make... And he's been kind of wasted up until now in this series. They really haven't let him do what he does the best. But he'll have the lead in an episode. I haven't seen it in years. I don't really remember it. I haven't seen it yet. But it's something to do with a motorcycle gang that Kimmel runs into. So he'll have a bigger part in that. In this one, he's the bad guy, and he's exposed as the one who did it at the end. But, you know.
How'd you like the ending on this one, Kitty? What'd you think when... Gerard asks Kimball, where are you going or something? Are you still running? And what Kimball says, there's a man I have to find.
Well, I mean, it was a predictable thing exchange that they had. I mean, one of the criticisms that I have with the exchanges between Gerard and Kimball is that, you know, when these two are together, they always have amnesia about what's gone on before. I mean, it would have been nice if we could have said, well, yeah, just so you know, Gerard, this is the second time I've saved your sorry ass. You know? I mean, I would just like to see Kimball really get mad at Gerard at some point, and after, you know, after three seasons and all the confrontations the two of them have had, we don't really see Kimball getting mad at him or showing a whole lot of emotion other than fear when he sees him.
But that's really out of character. You want to change the character. They've gone through great pains to paint Kimball as a different character than that, and that's going to really, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad idea, but they, you know, I've said it myself in reviews.
Well, I guess the reason why it angers me is because we see Kimball get mad at everybody else. I mean,
okay,
we've seen him...
One minute.
We've seen him punch other people out, and yet he never seems to have any desire to want to punch Gerard's lights out. I mean, you know.
Well, why make it worse? The guy's already after him. You want to make it even worse by hitting him, too?
Well, he's already been convicted of murder and has been sentenced to die. What's an assault on a police officer charge going to do to him?
See, that's the conversation we had on our message board last week about that, and I take the opposite view of that. I like Gerard to be stubborn and impossible and never give in, and I would say to Ken, I like the ending here, and it's exactly what I would expect. That you can save him from anything, and he's just going to say, oh, you know, I'm going to keep chasing you, and that's what makes the series for me, because the day that he decides he doesn't want to do it anymore is the day that the series is over. That's exactly what happens at the finale. He simply, and that's why I don't particularly like it. We'll get to that later, but, you know, I don't want him to ever give in. I mean, I want him to keep on doing it. And I wouldn't mind seeing Kimball get angry. I just think that they painted him into a corner. He's not the type to do that.
All right, and the corner they painted him into was the corner of hell.
Yeah.
Very, very nice segue, Bob.
Very nice segue. Right.
All right, my thanks to you folks. Now, we'll all be back 2 weeks from tonight, live on October 9th, for part one of May God Have Mercy. And at last, we're going to get one in which everybody is on the same page.
That's sure.
No controversy here. Hope you'll join us as well 2 weeks from tonight here on Talkin' Fugitive on Sherevision Radio.